Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
So in the first half of the show, we finally found that man show bit, very funny, called Ground Justice. Play that. You'll have a laugh. And Randy Lanier, who's that? Well, you're going to find out who that is. Very interesting story. And we do the news all in the first half. First, it's apartments.com.
Apartments.com. Who needs a change of scenery now? Answer, everyone. Apartments.com has the most listings anywhere. Not just apartments, but homes, townhomes, condos, and more. Oh, I wish I needed to rent a place just so I could use apartments.com. With 3D virtual tours, you can search your special somewhere from anywhere. Stretch your fingers across a keyboard and change your scenery on apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place.
Ladies and gentlemen, the holidays are right around the corner. Before you know it, turkeys will be stuffed, and that fat guy with a white beard will be breaking into your homes in the middle of the night. Don't wait until the last minute to treat yourself or the people you love in life to marvelous Christmas presents like the Carolla Christmas Card Combo. This three-bottle gift set comes with a jolly Christmas card featuring and signed by each and every person that makes this the greatest podcart in the universe. So head to CorollaDrinks.com today. Get your Carolla Christmas Card Combo for only $60. That's three bottles of your choice, plus a Christmas card signed by the entire staff for only $60. Happy holidays from everyone at Carolla Drinks. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Donny Osmond, with Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, his family variety show wasn't as successful as the Almonds. Osmonds. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but get on. Mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I saw the ratings went up last week. So thank you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
I watch The Love Boat.
Oh, yes, I do. All right, let's see. Got a lot to get into today. We finally found that trailer for the Cop Buddy movie from the Man Show, season two. I was wrong.
Was it called earlier? Was it called Sloppy Joe?
No. As soon as I heard the name, I was, oh yeah, because I think I named it this. It was called Ground Justice.
It's good.
Yeah. So. And there was a story behind it, because I used to do a lot of cop buddy sort of send up stuff, had coffee and donuts. Those were the, you know, two oddball cop partners.
Like,
you know,
Duncan
detective.
And Winchell.
I was about to say you played cop buddies.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. Yeah, coffee and donuts. The guy was named Charles Coffee. He was the uptight one.
Sure.
And then there was Johnny Donetti. Because he always, in the act one, you have to go, Donetti, get in here, so you can justify the name.
Yeah.
And like Johnny Donetti was the streetwise guy, ate all the junk food, you know.
Yeah.
And, so that was coffee and donuts. This was, I don't know, and was the singer, did we get something from Gio?
Yeah, Gio says, first off, this all originated on Loveline. He said, singer-songwriter Poe was so enamored with the idea.
Wow.
Poe.
Remember Poe?
Yeah, what was her hit,
Brian? Very 90s. What, didn't she do this song with I will go down with this ship.
That's what's her face from the Eminem song.
That's not Poe?
No. Oh. Or I have no idea. I have no idea. But Poe, I get her mixed up with Jewel.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of the same person. But anyway, go ahead, Max Spada.
Some of her early charting singles included Angry Johnny, Trigger Happy Jack, Help, and Hey Pretty.
I was thinking of Dido.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, Poe had a hit on K-Rock.
Yeah,
that's,
oh,
that's
absolutely.
What I know, because she was on Loveline.
Well, she was so enamored with the idea of coffee and donuts, she wrote a full feature-length script and tried to get Adam to read it.
What?
I don't remember reading it, but this is Ground Justice from season two of The Man Show, and it just reminded me. I feel like this is I remember there's a gun handler, and I remember he's giving us a speech, and that's all I remember. Somehow tied it to the Baldwin thing.
In a world that has a city where thugs rule the streets. Only two cops have what it takes to take a bite out of crime.
Freeze, punk!
Veteran Detective John Stonebreaker wants one last taste of glory.
Jimmy Dress is a sloppy
Joe. Sloppy Joe Rodriguez is a rookie with a spicy temper and a meaty center to match.
Eat me!
Alone,
oh, yeah, so we're firing the guns.
Together, they're dynamite.
Let's roll, Floppy!
Crime is taking an order to go somewhere
I'm
else.
Jumping in the car. He can't get in.
Move out, Floppy! Tell us about Espinosa!
They don't play by the rules.
Jimmy was so pissed.
They play by their own rules.
I got the mayor, the DA, the city council, and the homeowners association on my ass. I ought to take your shields.
I gotta admit, you do smell delicious.
You want a taste of me?
Jimmy was so pissed.
Don't twist me, sloppy! No!
TV guide.
Jimmy jumps in front of me. That's called...
No!
TV guide award nominee.
International superstar, Maria Conchita Gonzalez.
Don't die!
Kwan Lee Ho as Kwan Lee Chang. And introducing Jimmy Kimmel as Sloppy Joe.
I'm too old and spicy for this shit.
In a movie that proves that a cop is just a cop, but a manwich is a meal. Ground Justice, a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Wow.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. And people are like... Sometimes people are like, oh, just go out and shoot this thing and shoot that thing. That was like warehouses, cars,
many locations.
Cops, locations. Yeah, we went to one warehouse like downtown that had like the cop office room. You could make the cop, you could make the commanding officer room. Then we had one where the drug smuggler was a room. And then we had that the guy smacked who was Mendoza or something. That was, that was Doug. Sorry, a guy who worked with. We had guys who we used Jordan's car. One of the writers' cars was one of the Dodge Darts. It was Doug's Mercedes, where he's on the hood of. But a lot of gunfire in that.
A lot
in that. Yeah, and I remember lots of. I'll tell you what I remember. There's two things I remember from the shoot. A, those things would go on all goddamn day, and sometimes into 2 days, because it'd get him in the outfit, get him on the hood, get the shot.
Jimmy didn't think this through, because that's not just cumbersome. It looks heavy. It's horrible.
We'd take a break or lunch or whatever, and Jimmy'd just be sweating his ass off. And all my costume was just a leather jacket, you know. But I remember two things. I remember one of the guns that shot the blanks, I think, had a battery in it. It was battery activated. And we had a female gun handler as well, maybe a male and a female. But I remember my favorite thing in life when she was like, oh, I think the battery's low. I have to replace the battery or something. And I said, what kind of batteries you take? And she went, I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I thought, I never know why people don't know their own shit. But
it's
maybe
not a good answer for an armor.
Maybe now we know. Yeah. Like, she had no good goddamn idea.
Why would there be a battery in it?
It was probably just an electronic thing that made a flash or something.
For a camera.
I just remember it. It took a battery. One of the guns took a battery. So there you go. Ground Justice. And, you know, I say this all the time, but everyone's like, oh, man show, you guys just drinking beer and making fun of the bitches, you know? And I'm like, no, no, we did a lot of bits.
Sure.
And
some heady stuff.
Mostly, I was
we always did lots of bits, and we were usually at the, you know, the butt of the joke right. in the bit. But, yeah, Jimmy was a sloppy Joe. I don't know. Where can you find that? Is it up on somewhere? People can look at it?
I mean, we embedded it onto our YouTube video. If you go to youtube.com/Adam Carolla, you could even watch the guys react to it.
It's a funny movie trailer. And like I said, it takes time. You got to like cast people and get the dog wrangler. Like someone got to find a dog. So when Jimmy's walking, the dog can come from the park and try to eat him and stuff. Like all that stuff is just one big pile of time.
And some amazing, I don't know how long the editor was in there finding those cutaways.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got to clear the stock footage and blah, 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 blah. All right. I got a text moments ago from Dickie Barrett of the Boss Tones.
Oh, wow.
From 5 years ago?
Yeah. You know John Popper? This is a real-time text, and he was explaining to me that Jay Black, of course, from Jay and the Americans.
Uh-huh. Obviously.
Passed away. And Dickie and I share a love of Jay and the Americans, mostly because they've got a couple of great songs, and their songs tell a story. We'll play Come a Little Bit Closer. You guys know that song.
Sure.
I love that song.
But it's like it lays out the whole thing. It's like he went to the bar, sees the senorita.
In a little cafe, just
and he had a great voice. If my dad, Dawson, or if my dad can
jumps in
assist on this one. He could have been. Could have been one of his studio gigs. I don't know.
He belonged to Batman Jose. And I knew, yes, I knew I should leave when I heard her say, hey, come a little bit closer, you're my man. So big and so strong. Come a little bit closer.
Oh, here it comes, Dawson.
Wow.
I started to dance in my arms. She felt so inviting. And I just couldn't resist the just a little kiss. So exciting.
All right, so he's dancing with the beautiful senorita.
And I heard the guitar play.
The guitar.
Sounds a little different than the version I remember.
We may have it modulated in a different way.
Yeah,
the radio car speakers are different.
Kind of
we have a higher end. These headphones are much higher end than what's in the car.
Interesting thing about him is he accrued $500,000 of debt and back taxes to the IRS because of his gambling addiction.
No.
The IRS initially, they sought to force him to sell the rights to perform as Jay Black, as well as a trademark for Jay and the Americans. He got to keep Jay Black, but he had to give up the trademark for Jay and the Americans.
I love it when the IRS is like,
here's your choices.
Yeah. Hey, Joe Louis, we know you're 50, but you owe us 50 grand. You better fight again.
How about stepping back into that ring?
Go back and go do your thing. Yeah, they want to get paid.
Wow.
So then, now my karaoke number, and I'm not joking, this is a karaoke favorite of mine, which is Caramia, which
Caramia, why
Oh, yeah. Takes guts to stand up in front of a crowd and
bring the room.
Felt this one.
Tone down.
Oh, yeah. But I did it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, listen to this guy's voice.
Each time we part, my heart wants to die.
Now, I would choreograph it. I'd start, sure. I'd march now. You know?
Right.
I can sing and march and play.
The girls are pawing at you.
Oh, that started before the march.
Sure.
Then I'd go, now I go up an octave. And I go one more. Oh,
I
yeah.
I see this for you.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't do this one. This is...
This is just Adam.
This is a Black Diamond type run,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you can see me. Here's a picture of me at Kimmel's house from 20 years ago. I dug deep to hit some of these notes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would be when I about this time, you can turn it up here. It was funny. So it'd be about this time. It'd be, you know, 1 in the morning. I'd be in Jimmy's living room.
Ralph in bed.
At some point, just attended her wedding, but 7-year-old Katie would come down the stairs crying. Like, what's going on? It's like, you've haunted my dreams. This is about where Katie would come down about
crying.
This note.
That's abusive.
Fucker could sing.
Yeah. Look at you, falsetto.
He's going up again. The big ending. Big hit, rarely covered.
No,
ever.
Challenge, yeah.
Most guys, you know, Third Eye Blind doesn't want to do their version of this one.
No, you got to pipes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a proving
ground.
One
of my fantasies, I just play this for DJ Khaled and go, you know what that guy does? He fucking sings. He's got talent, his ability.
Yeah.
What a voice that guy
had. I
had
no idea.
Yeah, and that was not all, you know, auto-tuned and whatever. That's that dude singing, man.
His nickname was The Voice.
The Voice.
Okay. I would very much like to hear you sing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you have to close your eyes and go back to 1999
sure.
when I was in Jimmy's living room. But yeah, it is.
Sloppy Joe and Grand Justice.
His daughter coming down disoriented and crying. Because, you know, the kid lays in bed for a while hoping it'll pass.
Right.
But it didn't
pass. No, the nightmare doesn't end.
It escalated.
It's three more minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I would do, oh, Chris, you got to look this one up. Well, all you have to do is pipe in Sheriff's only hit. But at some point, I wanted to spread the wealth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to just be up there alone because I'm a team player. And I would invite one of the gals up to do a duet.
Oh, boy.
And that duet would be Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Sheriff. You're going to know this Sheriff song.
The name of the band is Sheriff?
Name of the band is Sheriff.
Okay.
Who should have covered I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley. You're going to know this duet. Gina, you may want to put it into your repertoire.
Okay.
I mean, now that you're married.
Sure.
You need a couple's. Karaoke song, right? I would start, you know.
Sure.
I never needed love like I need.
Well, we would slow it down, you know. So bring it down.
Yeah. The lighters come up.
Oh yeah.
This is couple skate at the skate land.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if this is a duet. I think. Oh yeah.
Maybe it's the way you touch me.
I think we would split the song.
The song's fucking awesome.
It's an awesome song. It is as Tool-y a tune as has ever come down the Tool pike. Because had that big 80s part right here. Now this is where I would crank it up again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is where I needed the assist, you know. I told you you'd love this song,
Yeah, I fucking
Gina.
Love this song.
I know.
This is basement makeout party song.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I'm with you.
Oh,
I love this song.
He fades out at the end when I'm with you.
I feel like Linda Ronstadt should have helped him out on this.
Yeah, he goes, you know this one, Brian,
of course,
right?
Yeah.
Tool tune.
Yeah, the windows got to be sealed. Just.
Oh, my God.
You talk them. Down, yeah.
Talk them up, man. Get out the 35-year siliconized white sink caulk and give it a lap around the outside and inside of the window.
Call Phil from
Double
Flexing.
Pain.
And then crank it up. Oh, here we go.
I used to spin this on 101.7 K-Lights.
Oh, really?
With less talk.
Chris, I think you could do this one.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
He'll kick it up. He'll kick it up an octave here.
You're going to need a first dance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. He gets so into it, he throws himself off. Yeah. I'd love to be an engineer in one of these recording sessions, because after, I'll just do it in real time after he finishes this, you know. Then now here's where I kick my octave again, you know, because I want to show people my range.
Right, we want more.
Here we go. Going higher. Tough note to hold, but I could do it.
Yeah, sustain. Let it shimmer.
We can fill it in with synth.
I'd love to be the engineer, because I'd be like, all right.
How'd that sound to you guys? I put my all into that one.
All right, yeah, it's good. Let's go again. We don't break for lunch for 20, so let's just go again.
Yeah, I mean, my lungs are inside out, for God's sake.
Well, I have a shot of Gatorade, and let's just start it at the top.
I don't know what I have left, but...
Oh, you got more left. Hey, that was a 5.
I don't know. It felt good to me.
Hey, man, you want spins? You want Dawson to spin this on
K101? Oh, what a dream that would be.
Yeah, all right. Well, then we go again. Here we go.
Got what you got to do.
We want me to count you in?
It's a long way to the top. We want to rock and roll. Here we go.
All right. I was watching a show on Netflix last night. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It pops up when I turn on Netflix. I think it's a recent offering from Netflix. It's called Bad Sport.
Oh, yeah. We were watching that.
Oh, you're watching Bad Sport.
Yeah, I walked in. Andy was watching it, and we watched the point shaving. And
yeah, it's like horse doping and point shaving and all that kind of stuff. But one of the stories is I was scrolling through. I was like, oh, Randy Lanier. Randy Lanier is a guy I met at my shop. He came by to visit. That was about 6-8 months ago. Little guy, diminutive little guy, sweet guy, older gentleman. And I was like, Randy Lanier. And they're like, yeah, he was a race car driver. He got in a little trouble. And I've told you guys about the Whittington brothers all
love
the time
them.
In Miami and drugs and race cars and stuff. Well, Lanier was another guy who lived in Florida, sold a lot of drugs because he wanted to go racing. And racing wasn't cheap. And he had the need for speed. So he starts... I don't know. You have a little breakdown of Lanier?
Yeah, at age 15, when he moved to Florida at age 14, he discovered cannabis and started enjoying smoking pot. So at 15, he began to sell drugs. At the age of 20, he bought an $18,000 boat, equivalent to $74,000 today.
Jesus.
And with the money he made from selling pot, he bought the boat, and then he drove the boat to the Bahamas and started bringing back 18,000 pounds of weed and distributing it through tugboats.
And so he's like, you know, he got married, had kids. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't like a crazy junkie drug lord. He just said, at some point, he's like, I'm going to take this money and I'd like to go racing with it. I don't know. He figured out at some point that he could get more weed if he used cargo ships.
Sure. Other than tugboats?
Right. But he was welding it into the hull of the ship.
How'd he get caught?
The boat, it's kind of interesting story. So the boats have a ballast tanks at the bottom of it. It's just big open areas. Mm-hmm. They fill up with seawater to give them ballast. But he said, why not make a deck a little above that deck, and we can fill that deck. That'll be dry. We can fill that with bales of weed.
Sounds good.
Also kind of funny that we're talking about pot.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cocaine. It was just pot, you know?
Yeah.
And now
legally on every street corner.
Something that grows everywhere, but it was pot back then. And then he started bringing the pot in. Then he started making a lot of money. And then he won the IMSA championship in 1984, which is a big deal. He beat the Porsche factory team, which is Porsche's the biggest name out there. And the factory team is that's all the might of Porsche. And he's a little privateer with no sponsorship or anything. And he actually wins the championship by beating Porsche in 84. Then he decides, I want to race at Indy. I want to race at the Indy 500. That's the pinnacle for most racers. So buys himself an Indy car and goes to Indy, qualifies the car, and becomes the highest finishing rookie highest of the race, which was 10th, but no rookies finished that high ever before. Mm-hmm. And then gets Indy Rookie of the Year. But meanwhile, he's got this...
It's a good side gig.
He's got this container ship out there. And the container ship, they've tipped off the feds. Mm. And the feds know the container ship is coming into the port in New Orleans. And he gets word of it. So he tells the container ship's got to turn around, go back through the Panama Canal, and go to San Francisco to unload. Meanwhile, it's at sea so long that water leaks in, hits the pot, or some of the pot. Mm. The pot with the seawater creates methane. Then when they get the torch out to cut out the steel to pull, there's an explosion because the methane gas had been created in this confined area. Two welder guys, you know, die in the explosion. Feds show up. Now, he's got a six-year-old, a newborn, or about to have a newborn. He's just won Indy Rookie of the Year. And while all this is happening, the marshals are like at his house and everything. He flees. They catch up to him. He does 27 years
Jesus.
In prison. And he got a life sentence, but Obama comes in and goes, hey, why are we having these nonviolent drug offenders spend their whole life in prison? I totally agree with that. So he gets him out in 2014, and I think he reconnects with his wife and remarries the same woman.
Oh, that's nice.
And, true love.
Now is into, you know, yoga and clipping coupons.
And they just
live together. His head is completely different. He's done all his soul searching in prison. He's not angry at anybody, and boom, here he is. But he did race that IMSA season. His co-driver, I think, was Bill Whittington, one of the Whittington brothers.
So of course, they knew
Whittingtons,
each other.
The Whittington and Randy Lanier. It was always Whittington, Lanier, Whittington. So that was that story.
What's more true to the heritage of racing than smuggling?
Yeah.
Right? That's how the whole thing started.
Well, it's certainly how NASCAR started. Like, you know,
internationally.
Yeah, in Europe they were doing something else, but here they're running shine, man, and they needed powerful cars.
It was born in Lynchburg.
Oh, Tennessee, huh? Yeah.
No, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Close enough.
Oh, I thought it was Lynchburg.
I know it is Lynchburg, Tennessee, but I just saw Virginia after that. So there's two of them. There is a Lynchburg in Virginia, but yeah.
So interesting story. Anyway, it was funny that I met the guy a year ago, and I was like, yeah, all right, I'm busy. I'm gonna keep walking. Yeah. You also, when you meet 70-year-old dudes, a lot of them have a story.
Yeah, assume there's a story.
Assume there is a story. All right, let me tell you about Bright Cellars. Today's episode is sponsored by Bright Cellars. Help support us by supporting Bright Cellars. Ever feel overwhelmed in the aisle, the wine aisle? Well, you bought random wine, you ended up hating it, you spent way too much. You're not alone. Bright Cellars uses a wine algorithm to match you with the wines you're guaranteed to love. All you have to do is take about 30 seconds, just a little quiz, a little 30-second quiz. They'll match you with the wines based on things we know you like. You know, favorite type of chocolate, favorite type of juice, the flavors you like. Vanishing Act, great Pinot Noir. I did it. I love it. And if you don't like a bottle of wine, Bright Cellars offers a delight guarantee and will send you a replacement in your next order. This makes a nice gift, especially coming up to the holidays. It's Bright Cellars, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, Adam Carolla listeners get 15% off their first six-bottle box by going to brightcellars.com/AC3. It's basically six bottles of wine for the price of three. To get 50% off your first box, head to brightcellars.com. That's brightcellars.com/AC3. Bright Cellars, helping you discover wine you'll love.
Well, the great Donny Osmond's going to join us later in the show. I'm interested in Donny's story. I've talked to him a little bit over the years. Like I said, there was one highlight to my entire childhood, and it's that from the age of 8 and a half to 11, I kind of looked like Donny Osmond.
You did.
And then people just go, oh, you look like Donny Osmond. I'd go, thank you. And then go, all right, now go back to your hellhole and rot. Okay.
I mean, no stand-in work for you.
It's like I was getting laid when I was 11 anyway.
Stand-in work.
You fit the suit.
All right. Me and Drew did the Donnie and Marie show.
What? The variety show?
No, they had a talk show.
Oh, yeah. I know Marie had a talk show. I don't remember them having it together.
It was later in life. Well, obviously in the 90s.
I would say 97, 98. Everybody had a talk show. Everyone. Well,
you know what I'd be curious about with him, because I know Marie did it, because I had a friend who was a producer on her show. She would literally tape, like, whatever, I don't know, Wednesday to Friday, be on the next plane to Vegas, do all of her shows, come right back. It was just rinse and repeat. Hustling. All week, every week.
They work, man. 98 to 2000. Earned back-to-back Emmy nominations.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember doing Donnie and Marie because I remember where we did it. I remember that day. I remember me and Drew used to go do we did all the rounds on all those talk shows all the time. Stuff you never heard of today, but I did every one of them. And I remember clearly that's what set the table for my Pam Anderson tirade. Let's call it a tantrum, that I pitched a tantrum on the set of Loveline on MTV. Because,
when she was like super late?
Yes, because days earlier, Drew and I were doing Donnie and Marie. And you know, Dr. Drew, you tell him call time 12:30 is there, 12:28, right, wanting to know where everyone is. Like, well, how come we're not doing this? You know what I mean?
Did we reschedule?
Yeah, that's the show starts at 3. They're doing a monologue for 10 minutes. And then they're bringing out their first guest. And you're not going anywhere for 3 hours. Right. But the lead guest was Pam Anderson, and she was not there. And she was running late, and all we did was sit around and wait for her to show up. And the whole production and everything, she's just, bam, she's not here, you know. And, of course, we were there way before her, even though we were going on after her. And about 3 days later, she was booked on Loveline, and we were gang taping 4 episodes, and it was the 3rd episode, and we couldn't start. And she wasn't there, and I was like, fuck this. She makes everyone wait. Mm. Fuck this. We're starting without her.
How much of that is her and how much of that is her team? Booking her, you know, overbooking.
I
just assume someone who's that popular at that point is just, you know, they got him on 5 talk shows a day or something.
Well, then you think the team would get her there.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody's on them, I assume.
Right.
It's both. I've worked with people, but I've also had partners like, you know, Dr. Drew and Jimmy Kimmel, who are just, you tell them a time, they're
punctual.
There way before they need to be there. You can do it. They're busy. And I had a fucking full-on meltdown because I said, we're starting. We're starting without Pam. We're going to start the show. And she'll show up or she won't show up. And here we go. And I yelled at everyone. I was pushing camera guys to get to your camera. Go to your camera.
You were the Duke brothers. Filming. Turn those machines back on.
That's right. I was running around just pushing. Here we go. We're in there like in the booth going, oh, Adam, we're guests on. I don't give a fuck if our guest is here. We're starting now. And we just started the show. And I said, you know, Dr. Drew, you know, you do a lot of rehab work. Enabling. It's a problem, right? And our guest, Pam Anderson, is running late. And she runs late often. And I don't want to be an enabler because I feel like everyone who waits for her, we just reinforce this negative behavior. So we're going to start.
This is an on-air conversation?
Yeah. And we're starting. And if she walks in, she walks in. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But we're not going to be an enabler. And hopefully we'll break her of this habit. And then her publicist chimed in. And her publicist was like up in the booth. The booth was like, stop the filming. You know, and I was like, no, no, no. And then it was like, Pam's publicist says. And I was like, oh. Pam Flev says, what? And then I got in this huge shouting match with the publicist, which is, I basically said, tell your goddamn client to start showing up on time. And she would say, it's not my job.
Oh.
It's not my job. And I go, whose fucking job is it? If not yours, whose?
Right.
I mean, you have, she's chronically late. She's holding up. She's costing people thousands of dollars. People are fucking sitting around with their thumb in their ass. What do you mean it's not your job? Talk to your client and explain to them they cannot be chronically late. And then it was a big argument. It was uncomfortable.
It's on the best of, I remember.
All right, but I predict Donny Osmond will be prompt. Let's take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting, you want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff face on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, we know we have it on your license, Adam, but you might need to upgrade to the passport. The United States has issued its first passport with an X gender designation and expects to be able to offer the option more broadly next year. That's according to the State Department. So the United States joins a handful of countries, random countries, Australia, New Zealand, Nepal, and Canada, in allowing its citizens to designate a gender other than male or female on their passport. The U.S. Special Diplomatic Envoy for LGBTQ rights says she sees this as a way of affirming and uplifting the human rights of trans and intersex and gender nonconforming and non-binary people everywhere.
Blah, 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 blah. Jesus fucking Christ.
You know,
I had no idea I would spend my adult life talking about places in the Middle East I'd never heard of and arguing over gender. Oh,
it's interesting because they featured this person who they don't know if it was this person's passport or not, but there's an activist that's intersex, meaning they were born with both.
Oh.
And, there are these stories every once in a while. You hear they tried to raise him as a boy, but he doesn't feel like a boy and he doesn't know why and didn't realize he was born with both. And I thought of you, Adam, because I thought, mathematically, how many people does this affect?
I can't. It's ambiguous.
It's fascinating.
It's called ambiguous genitalia. I think the
there is an ambiguous genitalia.
Right. And I think there was a documentary at one point called like Orchid People. Like that's the other name.
Nice try, Gino. We're not watching that.
We're watching the Randy Lanier drug smuggling race car driving fucking doc, not your fucking orchid doc.
Episode of point shaving scandal.
I heard ambiguous genitalia got drafted in the second round.
That's right. Yeah. A free safety out of LSU. All right. So there is ambiguous genitalia. There's a God knows how small a group of human beings that are sort of born with kind of both.
Uh-huh.
But that's probably not measurable statistically. Then, of course, you have your gender dysphoria. But right. Here's kind of my thing. a license, a passport, ID. ID has information on it, like your height.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like the color of your eyes, because we're trying to produce a document that then identifies visually who you are.
I feel 6'5" and blue eyes.
Right.
So I'm going to put that in my license.
Right. But you can't do that. So because this is sort of, this isn't a judgment call. This is just an attempt.
Right. Information.
Well, it's when there's a fugitive, they go, he's driving a cream color Camry, 1988. Well, why are we assigning a car make or why are we assigning a color to the car? What if the car feels like a Volvo? It's like because we're trying to identify something.
Right.
So I would argue that in this particular case, you got to pick a major that we can identify.
That is such a good point because when you put it like that, it seems like this is the one thing that it doesn't matter how you see yourself. It is 100% about how others see you.
How,
so
right?
you what, can be on what, on the grid.
What weight is listed on your driver's license?
How fucking dare
what
you?
No, my
parents.
How?
I don't know if this counts as shitting on your point, Adam, but what are these higher? Percentage of the human population that's transgender or percentage of women who put their accurate weight on their driver's license?
Wow.
Oh, come on.
I in this case, I think the transgendered population.
You're right, I think you're right.
I mean, but the difference is at one point I was that weight.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we need to find Gina from 1988.
You got your license for 11?
Somebody build a time machine. We have a fugitive on the loose. Where's Tom Cruise?
Fuck you.
Well, also, I always wanted to do a man show bit where I worked at the DMV.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know, they filled out the paperwork. And I was going, all right, height, 5'6", you know, with the women. And date of birth, eye color. Ooh, wait. Now, obviously, I can record this, but it's a felony to fill out the lie in this paperwork. This is official paperwork. And you're standing on a scale right now that we had mounted in the floor, and there's a digital readout. Yeah. So if you want to just kind of reevaluate this paperwork.
Before the ink dries.
It'd be the greatest bit ever.
It's like the contraband trash at the airport. Hey, you got one last chance. You got one last chance before you get on this airplane to dump
right.
it. Otherwise, you're pouncing on you.
That's right. Good. By the way, that doc I was thinking of is called Orchids, My Intersex Adventure.
Oh, now, man. Yeah. What a chance is Donny Osmond has seen it?
Low.
Low?
Yeah, okay. I read it.
Mm-hmm. So three California, and I'm very curious if Dr. Drew's heard of this. Three California teenagers have been found to have developed psychiatric symptoms after getting COVID, and I'll explain what the link is. A research team from University of California, San Francisco, performed case studies on three teens. Now, of course, three is not much, but when it comes to the virus, it acts as it flares up like an autoimmune way, and it can mm-hmm. affect different parts of your brain. Mm-hmm. So it says, like many other organs, the brain can become inflamed as a result of person's immune system fighting the virus. Yeah.
If it affects your sense of taste and smell, right. that would suggest it attacks your brain. Right?
Yeah. So Dr. Sam Pleasure, he's the neurology professor over there, authored the study, told the Daily Mail that there is an established link between viral infections similar to COVID and these types of psychiatric issues. If the part of the brain that controls a person's thoughts becomes inflamed, he says, then it's possible they'll face psychiatric issues. And I don't know if they're saying it's more prevalent in teenagers.
They've done something insidious because I was just listening to potential, you know, kind of long haulers. Carryover effects of COVID. You know, some people over and done with. Some people have symptoms and things that seem to carry on. But they invented this super vague term called brain fog.
Yes.
Now, if you had COVID, and anyone who's woken up on any given weekend after having a couple of drinks like me the other night in Vegas or something, who amongst us wouldn't say, I think I got... We've all done the move where it's like you walk out to the car, you get to the car, you sit in the car, and you're like, I don't have my keys.
Right.
Like, we all do brain foggy moves all the time. Who's I feel like if somebody said, you got this disease and the side effects of this disease is something called brain fog, I just walk around all day going, here it comes.
Brain fog.
Here I go again.
Yeah.
I know I got it. And any time I couldn't think of a word or it's like, oh, shit, what's that guy's name from? Brain fog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of insidious.
It's super vague sounding. You're 100% right, but that's a real thing. I was diagnosed with brain fog after I had radiation. For months, I just, you know, had that fog. And I guess the difference between that and what you're describing is you don't snap out of it. You don't go, oh, my keys are in the house. Or, oh, his name was Dave or whatever. Like, it's constant. You're like, I can't focus. I can't snap onto it.
Well, and Dr. Drew said that.
Hold on. Who's Dave?
Whoa, brain fog.
Oh, no.
Sorry. Dr. Drew said, like, he was losing. And we just talked about he's Mr. Punctual, Mr. Everything. He was, like, losing hours at a time just, like, staring at TikTok and, like, kind of couldn't get his shit together, which, you know, is not. It doesn't sound like him. So I buy that. I don't know that it's still happening. It certainly hasn't mentioned
COVID's
it.
Also a flimsy excuse for you to stay home and do a bunch of shit you normally wouldn't do.
It does sound fun.
I spent hours watching TikTok videos. Right. But
I lost an afternoon.
Minus COVID, you can't really say that out loud.
No, you sound like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Levine is responding to criticism over his reaction to a stage crasher from Saturday night. Yahoo News reports that during Maroon 5's performance over at the Bowl over here, Hollywood Bowl over the weekend, Levine had his eyes closed while he was singing Sunday Morning when this girl, this woman rushed on stage, tried to hug him, threw her arms around him. The video, I'll show you in a second, of the moment in which he reacted, he's saying, fuck, and he kind of like grimaces and kind of like visibly like shakes like a, ugh. And that went viral. The problem with that, leading Levine to speak out and respond to claims that he thinks his fans are beneath him because someone randomly ran on stage and tried to hug him. So here's what happened. So he must think
that he actually handled it well in the moment.
Absolutely agree. So
she kind of handled it well too. She just gave him a hug, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it didn't seem that threatening to me.
But we're all, the hoi polloi now, according to Adam Levine.
Really? He said that?
No, but they're projecting onto him.
Onto that?
Yeah. So he had
He had a weird. I think it was for comic effect reaction.
Like a shimmy.
He was clearly startled in the moment. Then he kind of played into it a little bit. Pretty well.
People didn't like it, but he has a clip of his response.
People didn't like it.
No. Here's what he says.
To think that anyone would believe that I thought that they were our fans were beneath us or less than us makes my stomach turn. That's just not who I am. It's not who I've ever been. So I just need you guys to know I was really startled. And sometimes when you're startled, you have to like shake it off and move on because I'm doing my job up there. And you know, it's what I pride myself on. So I need to let you guys know what my heart is. And my heart is that connection.
Yeah. You know, people always go, it's not who I am. It's not who I was. Mm. They should add, it's not who I'll ever going
to
be.
It's not who I aspire to be.
Let's do the trifecta.
Yeah.
We did the beginning, we're doing the middle, and let's
make
get
the full
to the
promise.
End. And how do we know, you know, tomorrow you're not going to become a pompous ass?
That's true.
Also, speaking of fans being beneath you, stop it for a second, because that is a fan I could get beneath me.
I mean,
physically. You got to have
nice
someone
lady.
Rush the stage. Yeah. You normally get the guy who looks like the guy who works at the comic book store at The Simpsons.
He's wearing leather pants.
This gal, tight ass, mid-20s, long blonde hair.
Not too shabby.
Of getting on beneath in terms of the fans.
At first, when I saw that look on his face, I said, I've seen that look before. That's a get the fuck off the stage look.
Yeah.
You know? But now... That you say that it might be isn't he married
to a very nice, hot
yeah,
model?
Yeah, he's like, I got it. Come on, lady, you're too hot to be doing this.
That's
now, if you
what
were
I
a
think.
Big girl, Mm-hmm. I'd be hugging all up in you.
Mm-hmm.
Bahati Prinsloo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has Hottie in her name, his wife.
Really?
She
What's
is
her
so
name?
Bahati Prinsloo. And you got to see a picture of her. She is
She was drafted
gorgeous.
In the first round of the Jets.
So that could have also been like, you know, but my hands are up here. Bahati.
Where's Bahati from?
Let's see. The Maroon 5 singer. And Namibian model.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She is, I mean, she is
black?
No.
Huh.
She is stunning. She kind of looks like Israeli, mm-hmm. but you'll see a picture of her. Mm. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Not bad, but would be the type that ran up on the stage there. You know?
She's from the Lower East Side of Namibia.
Oh, the white section.
Okay. Babylonia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Dawson's very proud of himself.
No, I was more proud of Brian.
That's a Wayne's World joke. I totally ripped that off from Wayne's World.
So everybody got all bonerific over the Tiger King. You know, it wasn't my favorite thing, but it's coming back. Tiger King 2, the docuseries. Mm. The new series premieres November 17th on Netflix. It's described like this on Netflix. With Joe Exotic behind bars and Carol Baskin closing in on ownership of his disreputable zoo, the Emmy-nominated saga continues its twisted course with Tiger King 2.
You know, I'm liking my life strategy here. Because my life strategy, you know, we brought up Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew watches the shit out of everything. He comes back, you know, so there's all the Game of Thrones and the Tiger Kings and now the Squid Games and all that.
Same.
All that stuff. Right. I've not seen one frame of any of them ever, but everyone says, oh, there it's good. Like, you got to watch it, you know, whatever. And I go, that's fine. Some point when I'm, you know, in my mid-70s and I bust a hip and the work is dried up.
Nothing to do.
I'm going to be fucking set for the rest of my... I will have a full 10 years.
That's true.
I could just... I'll never have to watch a rerun. I'll just watch the entire series of all these prominent, great... that no one ever stops talking about. I'll just watch them back to back, straight on through, right to the grave.
That's...
And be... I'll spend my last 10 years... wildly entertained.
You're the ultimate binge watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Just for 10 years.
10 years.
That's a good run.
Just ordering Grubhub and take it right to the grave.
That's a really good strategy.
Mm-hmm. They're doing season twos. Yep. I won't watch those.
Right.
It's just going to keep going.
That's very smart.
I'll probably cap it off with that. With that tranny doc you were plugging.
Orchid.
I'll watch
Intersex
that.
Adventure.
I haven't seen that yet.
Sure. You might want to see that a couple times.
There's a list.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
I'm going to be set.
I'll show you just a little clip from the trailer in a second. But as you know, in April of this year, it was announced that NBC Universal nabbed the rights. And it's going to be, you know, the Joe Exotic series with John Cameron Mitchell stars as Joe Exotic and Kate McKinnon as his rival Carol Baskin. So that's being shot in Brisbane right now. But this is a 2.5 minute trailer. I'm just showing you the very end of the Tiger King 2 trailer.
The plot to kill Carol
is built on lies.
These people are going down.
You think this was Waco?
Come get me, motherfuckers.
We gotta put our differences aside. We're all gonna die in here.
If I have to make a deal with the devil, I will make a deal with the devil.
On Netflix, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing I hated about the first one is, like, I get it. They're wacky. They're all crazy. They're all on Oxycontin. That's fun. But, like, the story is, like, these... animals are being very abused, and nobody seemed remotely interested in that. Like, there's these, you know, they're feeding them like old, expired meat, and they're keeping them in these little cages, but we don't care about that. Look at this guy with a crazy goatee. You know, it's like, fuck this. But
it's interesting that as humans, we have this kind of crazy range. You know what I mean? Like, you got these guys with tigers, then there's your, you know, inner city gangbangers. Mm-hmm. Then there's, you know, you go back to the trans community, living their best life. Then you have the, you know, the guy who's, you know, he's the ladies' man. He's got all the girlfriends. There's the international traveler. There's the recluse. There's the thrill seekers, the adrenaline junkies. Then you go to the diet, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This guy said, oh, it's all fucking fast food all the time. And then you got the other guys, they're on their, you know, they're eating sprouted mm-hmm. wheat and
mung bean,
paleo
yeah.
and all. It's so weird because if you ever think about any other animal, like zebras or penguins
like
or
this.
Something, you never go, oh, don't hang out with those zebras. They're junky.
Right.
They'll stab you, fucking steal your Timex. Like those fucking ones over there, they stay up all night. They're fucking, they're louder and shit. They swear, they cuss. And then there's those ones over there. Those are very religious.
Pretty mellow.
They're very mellow. I mean, we got these guys, and then we got the Osmonds.
Yeah.
And then we got Jeff Bezos. Yeah. Like, what? How did we get this much range? You know what I mean? It's like humans.
Prefrontal cortex.
Don't you think we all kind of started off doing the same thing?
Of course.
We branched out pretty hard.
Yeah.
We really diversified. Yes, like all you gotta do, you just watch Netflix. You go, what are these people doing? Who? Well, they're in a cult. You know what I mean? Like, what? He's got 29 wives. Like, why doesn't everyone just have one wife? Like, or no wives? Like, how do we get this much? This kind of range.
Great observation.
It's a lot of fucking range.
Yeah.
It's crazy range.
Yeah.
And then, how are you really supposed to know who's into what? You know what I mean?
We need bandanas for everything.
Yeah, you you go. You go. That guy could be a serial killer.
Yep.
No fucking idea. This guy could be a Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. Like I can't tell. Just looking at him.
Well, you can.
Now we put the X on the fucking license, and we're really fresh out of ideas. Now we got no information.
That's
at all.
Where your profiling comes in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Donnie's on hold.
Ooh.
I told you.
Prompt. If you're on time, you're late.
All right, let's bring it home because the great Donny Osmond is ready.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Orchids, my intersex adventure.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. There are things you got to choose for yourself, just so you know you get the best, like steaks, a mattress, cars, things like that. Well, what if you could do that when you're hiring? You choose the ideal candidate before they apply. ZipRecruiter's invite to apply lets you pick favorites from your top candidates. And right now you can try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Just post a job on ZipRecruiter. They send you the most qualified people. Then you easily review candidates, invite them to apply with your top choices. So put them in your top choices apply category. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisitions at Medulla Health, says, we have a much higher follow-through rate if I invite candidates. It's easy for me, and it's easy for them. It is ZipRecruiter, right, Dawson?
See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam, ADAM, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right. Well, legendary performer Donny Osmond is going to join me next for a one-on-one right after this.
Every 60 seconds, not one, but two children are trafficked. And every 30 seconds, one is forced into exploitation for the purpose of heinous acts.
Human trafficking is happening in your own backyard. It is happening to your neighbors.
Many whom we see every day in our own communities, hidden in plain sight.
You know, there's kids out there that are being bought and sold 20 times a day.
We must bring the child back to the center of our care and concern. Today, we launch Goya Cares.
Goya Cares is committed to supporting victims and overcomers of trafficking and abuse to recover, restore, reconnect, and to shine the light that will block traffic.
This is where we become the light.
God saved me. I believe that I was called to this. Perhaps he's calling you to
block traffic.
Join Goya Cares and visit blocktraffic.org.